It is Bronze and Modern Gods. I'm John, and that's Richard. What is going on, everybody? We're back. Richard's back in Ohio.
Yes, cold, rainy, gross-looking Ohio.
Yeah, it was slightly foggy here this morning in 80. But no, it wasn't 80. It was really more like 68, 70. Sorry. But if you're not following us at Facebook and Instagram at Bronze and Modern Gods, please do so. Visit our website at bronzeandmoderngods.com. It's a bonus episode. Back to the bonus episode grind. We've got your questions, your comments, and a quickie comic book NFT watch for today. Richard, why don't you start us off with your first piece of viewer mail?
You've got mail.
My first piece of viewer mail is from Atme. I recently purchased a Silver Age book for my LCS, and it was marked as the cover detached. Upon closer examination, I discovered the book had no staples at all, or any sign of ever having any staples from the factory. All the pages were accounted for and folded like they were supposed to. No sign of staple holes or any page on any page, and no discoloration on the pages. Have you ever seen this, and do you think it hurts the grade if it's a factory defect? Thanks, guys. I've heard of it before. There are instances where there are cases where you'll have printer malfunctions, or you'll have books that are at the one extra book at the end of the particular run that doesn't end up getting run through the stapling machine. There's a variety of reasons why a book may not have the staples. I have not ever seen a 9.8 book that didn't have staples.
Not going to happen. In fact, it's probably going to get a qualified grade. They will mark it as a no staples manufacturer defect on the label. I don't know. Why do you want to get it graded? Is my question. What is it? Is it Amazing Fantasy 15? Okay. Yes, I understand. Is it Wolverine number one from 1988? Well, it's nothing special.
He says it's a Silver Age book, so I'm assuming Silver Age
book. Okay,
an older book, but that's a good point. Grading, what's your motivation? Are you planning to sell it? If that's the case, you're going to get less for that book than you would if it had staples, even a detached staple. But if your intent is to keep it in your collection, you just want to protect it, then get it graded. But otherwise, I'd probably pass on grading it.
Yeah. If the thought is, this is going to be really cool and someone will want it because it was made without staples. Yeah. You're not going to get any kind of premium for that.
There are other printer malfunctions or manufacturer defects, like multiple covers that are people will pay a premium for because of the way that multiple covers are graded, where the innermost cover typically has the highest grade, and that's what grade is assigned. So if you get a double cover or a triple cover, and sometimes we've seen quintuple covers, that is something that I think there is a premium for.
Yeah, agreed. My first piece of viewer mail is from Lee Niren. OMG, what an amazing group of interviews the two of you did at San Diego Comic-Con Special Edition. If you haven't watched that Monday's episode, check it out. For those of us on the East Coast who only dream of attending San Diego Comic-Con, I almost felt like I was there. How can we thank the two of you enough for what an amazing job you did? Boy, you're backing up the Brinks truck. Come on. I have a question. If you had a choice of attending only one major convention, which one would you recommend? NYCC, San Diego, Baltimore Con, etc. What are your thoughts? Thank you. This is an easy one for me. I've never been to NYCC. I've never been to Baltimore. I've never been to C2E2. I would go to San Diego.
I've never been to any of the other ones either. I guess it depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for a pure comic experience, the full-blown SDCC is a lot more than just comic books.
Yeah.
And you may find yourself disappointed by the rabid, crowd of people who are interested in Gundams and the latest TV show, things like that. So you're going to get a mixed crowd there. If you're looking for a pure comic book crowd, probably NYCC or something along those lines would be a little bit better and aligned with what you're looking for.
I also think if you're looking for a pure comic book crowd, and you've been to this one, Richard, so you can back me up on it, maybe wait for the California Comic Con, which is held by Terry from Terry's Comics. It usually happens in January, so it should be right around the corner. That is 100% comic books. period. No right. cosplay, no figures, no, no video
Funkos.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that's a great show. If you're looking for rarer books, it's a great show because the dealers that are there are dealers who have those kind of big boy books. And if they don't have them there, they may be able to source them for you. So definitely, if you're looking for a pure comic book show, that's a great show.
And, you know, while we're on the subject, I'm going to jump ahead to my what I had as my last piece of viewer mail right now. And it's from Fred Bruno, who sent us an email. Hi, John and Richard. I wanted to invite you to the Pittsburgh Comic Book Swap Meet to be held on Sunday, January 2nd. Is that a free ticket for us? This is sponsored by my LCS Pop Culture Comics with the help from the local collecting community. There will be vendors and LCSs there, but we are trying something a little different, emphasizing the networking and active trading between attendees. Veterans, whoop, whoop, first responders, and kids get in free. Okay, sorry, Richard. You're a kid.
Yeah, but at heart.
Exactly. Not really about making money. John, I know you're on the West Coast, but I think Richard is in range. It is on the north side of Pittsburgh. This is the first one, so it'll be smaller, but the plan is to hold 2 to 3 a year and gradually grow. Just hardcore comics, no toys, cosplay, et cetera, et cetera. More info at Facebook at Pittsburgh Comic Book Swap Meet. That's Sunday, January 2nd. Thank you, Fred. And I got this and I thought, we need to feature every week on Friday, bonus episode, a local comic show that's coming up.
Yeah.
So, if you have a local comic book show that's coming up, email us at bronzeandmoderngods@gmail.com. That's bronzeandmoderngods@gmail.com with all the information about the show, date, time, admission, what you're going to be featuring, any kind of vendors that are going to be there, and we will feature it on a future episode and help you promote it because that's what we do, right?
Yeah, we're nice guys. Fred, excuse me, Pittsburgh is a few hours from me. January 2nd may be a difficult date for me to meet, but if it's possible, I'd love to come. I would love to experience an actual swap meet where people bring their books in and then are looking to trade with other people who've brought their books in. I've never done that before. It's always been a cash transaction for the books that I've acquired. John, have you ever done a swap meet kind of thing?
I've been at shows where I've seen it happen, but there is a couple of local people that get together like that here. And I haven't made an effort to go because I don't know. I don't like trading my books. If I have it, it means I want it for some reason. Anything else? I want that sweet, sweet cash.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, it's gotta be something that you're willing to part with.
Yeah.
And it's rare that someone else has something that you want of similar value, but it would be interesting to do that. I have swapped books before. You helped me do it.
I brokered the transaction myself.
Yes, you have. So it's definitely something I've done before. I just never done it face to face at a swap meet.
Just call me Escrow John.
My next one is from Amy LKW. Great video. Thank you very much. Glad you two enjoyed yourself. I am too. It was a great show. Richard, did you see any Albedo 2? I'm watching for one for you. Well, thank you so much for looking out for me. I appreciate it. I didn't see a single one there at the show.
I didn't either. I looked.
Yeah, we looked. We went. Trust me, if there is a comic book for sale at SDCC, we were looking at it. So we didn't. I didn't see any there. As a matter of fact, I've only seen one at a show to begin with, and that was at California Comic Con. So it's a rare book. You know, there's 2,000 out there in existence. So it's a tough book. So my search continues.
It was interesting at Comic-Con Special Edition last week because for all that we bought, there were a lot of things we did not see. Albedo number 2. I didn't see any Yellow Claw, not 1, 2, 3, or 4. No Marvel Boy number 1. No Astonishing. I saw Captain America's Weird Tales 75. Harley E had an 8.0, which was amazing, but a little out of my range. Didn't see a 74 there. So, you know, these books are going into PCs and they're not budging. They're staying put.
No, yeah. I think the Silver Age books are the ones that people are really targeting. So if you're looking for something in the more pricey range, they're becoming more and more scarce as people start, you know, hunkering down and holding.
Yeah. All right. My next piece is from Jay Huber on Instagram, who writes, "Hey guys, I was helping my brother sort through a bunch of old toys and stumbled upon his G.I. Joes. This dude looked like someone I'd seen before. John, are you still receiving royalties for your modeling work circa sometime between 82-1990-ish? You know, sometimes I get accused of looking like action figures. I'd never realized there were as many bald, bearded action figures out there until I started doing this podcast. For example, Ali from Elite_Comics11 sent me this gem. Apparently, this is the John Hughes Star Wars Captain Rex action figure.
It's surprisingly similar. It's
yes. And then I received this the other day, the Hercules Tom of Finland edition, complete with harness. You have his angry face and his drunk happy face, or as I call it, the post-coital Hercules face." So,
you turned into an action figure aficionado, aren't you?
People buy them for me. I'm just sitting back here. Then I get a package in the mail saying, "Ha ha, thought of you." And I'm like, okay, what am I going to do with this now?
Be careful what you say on air, because it may turn out to you'd have a Merry Christmas.
Oh, God. I do think after last week, seeing all the cosplay, I do think I need to cosplay as Captain Rex someday. That would
be perfect.
That was pretty obviously the only character I can probably cosplay as right now, except for maybe, unemployed, homeless Lex Luthor.
Stop it. There was some great cosplay there. There's some people doing Hawkman, for example, with big wings that were mobile. It was this awesome. Props to everybody who does that. It's hard work to walk around in that kind of costume for the whole show. So,
especially in heels.
Yeah, definitely.
Not that I know. But hey, what's your next piece of viewer mail?
My next piece of viewer mail is from Corey Berry. Not sure if you guys have noticed that the prices for NFTs in the Veev app are going down as supply of minted issues are going down. That is not how supply and demand works. I think someone is playing around. I work in the stock market for a large broker firm. Any thought on this new investment class of asset? I'm now on pause since I'm not getting in on any of the drops. The comics have come off 30 to 35% in the last 2 weeks. I enjoy your show. Well, thank you, Corey. Appreciate it.
Well, before we answer this question, maybe we should just segue right into the comic NFT watch. Fire up that modem. Here we are. And I'm noticing Corey sent you this comment 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
Things have changed.
Things have changed. And that's the thing about this market, about NFTs in general. They're so new and so amorphous that the prices haven't settled yet. You know, there's just not enough data. You know, the stock market, you've got, you know, over 100 years of data to back the transactions and have historical precedence as to those transactions. With NFTs, you know, you got last week. So, you know, it's more difficult to have that kind of stability in the prices. So they do fluctuate quite a bit.
Corey was referring to a bit of a sell-off that was happening 3-4 weeks ago where things were dropping. Well, Corey, I don't know if you fired up the VV app in the last couple of days, but floor prices for commons for the keys have really shot up. Marvel Comics number one common is now $120. Amazing Spider-Man number one is anywhere from $66 to $80. Fantastic Four number one is around that same range. And those have been down as low as, you know, $25, $20 when you wrote your comment. Meanwhile, the commons of the dog books are just as doggy as we predicted they were going to be. Who wants X-Men 308 NFT? Who wants the first appearance of Red Wolf? Guys, no one wants it. It's a bunch of speculators that grabbed them up, trying to get a secret rare. They didn't get it. Now they're dumping their commons. I also think Vivi's kind of a victim of its own success. They have not gotten their act together in terms of getting this stuff to OpenSea or Immutable X yet. They keep promising soon you'll be able to cash out. Soon you'll be able to sell it, and it'll be minted as a true NFT. If it gets minted as a true NFT when it goes to the open market, Richard, does that mean it's a new NFT at that point?
Yeah, that's a good question. To me, you know, all these closed markets are like railroads that have that don't interlink with other railroads. So you got stuff running around on its own tracks, but it never interacts with other things. And I think there's a fear from some of these NFT minting places that once you open the floodgates and allow people to move their crypto out of their platform, it's going to be an exodus, and then, you know, all of a sudden all their value is going to disappear. And yeah, I'm waiting.
I'm waiting too. I potentially got about 3,000 gems, and I'm like, oh, I'll take that as cash, you know. Yeah. And that will not be good for a closed ecosystem like Vivi. So they have every reason to keep their little ecosystem closed. Is it a real NFT? I mean, this debate, it can go on all day. But you said amorphous, and I thought you said Morpheus because you got in on the Matrix launch. Much yes. Tell everybody what that is.
Yes. As a promotion for the upcoming new Matrix movie, Matrix, is it Reloaded? I can't remember what the...
Resurrected?
Resurrect, something like that, right. It's basically Matrix 4.
Sure.
In anticipation of that, the people at Warner Brothers have gotten together with a company called Nifties to provide an NFT around the property. And what it is they have 100,000 characters that exist within the Matrix universe. Now they're randomly generated. They have a certain number of traits, and each one of them is unique. And the idea is they sell off these 100,000 individual characters, and I've got a sample of the two that I actually got here on the screen. And on December 16th, they are planning on allowing each of the characters to choose a red pill or a blue pill. Now, if they choose a blue pill, they stay as they are. But if they choose the red pill, they will then upgrade to or morph to a resistance character. We have no idea what that means exactly right now. And there's supposedly some other things that are going to happen throughout the life cycle of this NFT. But there was a huge demand. I don't think the people who, the Nifty's people, had any idea of the number of people who wanted one of those 100,000 NFTs.
At first, how much were they each?
$50.
All right. 50, 50 times 100K.
$5 million
for this launch.
Right.
Gross revenue.
Right. And it's easy. It's like people are trying to shove their money through their keyboards to get them. Yeah, it was crazy. I know I got there. I got there as I typically, you know, I always get there early for these kinds of things. So I was there half an hour early, and they had a queue system, and it was the whole thing kind of degenerated because there's too many people in the queue. At first they were allowing 25 people to buy 25 at a time, which you would think, you know, that's a lot of money to spend on an NFT. But apparently people didn't bat an eye because they were buying them all up, so much so they paused and then changed the maximum to 5. But then they had all kinds of problems with payment, and I actually ended up, the 4 that I got on 2 separate transactions because you couldn't actually buy 4. It was just a really poorly run process.
You work in IT, and you had trouble setting up your wallet. And if you had trouble setting up your wallet, this is not ready for prime time yet. There's still a little work to be done. I think that's the appeal of Vivi. It's so frictionless, and I'm not a shill for Vivi. Honestly, I'm kind of over Vivi. Let me make that clear. But they made it simple. You could just buy it with your phone and use Apple Pay. Done. I've set up a phantom wallet. You know, I've gone through all this. I've got my key phrase saved on my notepad. This is scary stuff for the average Joe. They don't get it. So we've got a ways to go.
Yeah, this is still, you know, the bare metal is still visible in a lot of this stuff. Yeah. And it's a barrier to people who aren't in the tech industry, or at least are hip to the terminologies that are used when we talk about these things. And it's going to take some kind of, I know they want, one of the tenets of this cryptocurrency is decentralization. But I think if you want it to spread to the mainstream, you're going to have some kind of centralization in terms of payment, something to ease that process so that, you know, somebody's mother is able to be able to purchase one of these transactions, or so someone who is less experienced in the process of dealing with this technology.
Meanwhile, the Spider-Man No Way Home, is that it? Or is it Go Home or Home Run? Whatever the new one is, they gave away NFTs with the purchase of pre-sale tickets. Now, there's some utility behind that that's supposed to be revealed later. I think that's an interesting use of NFTs, and that's a good way to mainstream it a little easier. It's a little easier pill to swallow.
And they sold out too. There was a record-breaking pre-sale that the pre-sale outsold the previous record holder, Endgame, and it's just amazing. We're talking about going to the theater, and you know that has not had the same kind of volume that it had pre pandemic. So now we've got an example of a way of that AMC uses to actually spur those ticket sales. So I don't know if it was Spider-Man or was it the NFT that really, or you know, really pushed this to this kind of.
Why not both?
Yeah.
Why not both? What other comic book related NFTs are you guys excited about? Any of them, or do you just skip this entire segment? Let us know in the comments, and we will share it.
Trust me, I don't blame you. It's so new. It's so. I don't want to say tangential. It's only related to comics.
Yeah, but it is very related to comics because we are collectors at heart. And the fact that something is scarce drives us nuts and we want to have it. And we want to be able to brag that we have it. And trust me, it goes right to my DNA. DNA NFTs. Hold on a second. Where is this going? Okay. All right. That is going to do it for this week. Short and sweet. Richard, anything else?
Yep, everybody, go to Bronze and Modern Gods on Instagram or Facebook, or bronzeandmodernguns.com, the website, and we will see you on Monday.
And if you're going to be at LA Comic Con this weekend and you see me walking around, say hi, and we'll catch you next time.
All right, everybody, stay safe.